you did choose a libertarian there, would that make a difference?
Well, money makes a difference. You can buy a lot of ads with that money. It can put him on the radar screen, whether it's a message that will go over with Republicans. So far, it hasn't.
All right. Bill Snyder, always appreciate your perspective. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, so jumping back to Jack Cafferty and the question that he asked, well, he's raising all this money, why isn't he showing up in the polls? And Jack asked the question because he wanted to give an opportunity for the right answers to start to come out. There was a comment or two which alluded to the fact that it's just as simple as this. And Ron Paul is going to get to this a little bit later when we play some clips of him talking in recent interviews from today. Most of the people that are voting for Ron Paul, that are registering for Ron Paul, that are in the Ron Paul revolution, are not being picked up by the polls. They're just not, because either they were Republicans and they dropped out, or they were something else and now they're Republicans, some combination thereof. It's just that the polls are not really measuring the people that support Ron Paul. They're just not being picked up because of the methodology. Now, the other part of the methodology is they call landlines and people don't answer them anymore. If you have a landline, it's for internet service. If you have a landline and you see a call coming in, you've got caller ID. And if it's an 877-866 blah, blah, blah number, you just don't answer it. Okay? You know it's a telemarketer of some kind. And many people don't have landlines anyway. They have cellular telephones, and those are excluded from polling. So the methodology is completely off. That's why Ron Paul isn't registering. His strength is far, far and above what is being measured. And we can measure that when we have a rally and 1,200 people turn out in Santa Monica on Sunday. We didn't spend a dime in advertising. It was all word of mouth. And it was all people that really, really support Ron Paul in a big way, with the most incredible passion and enthusiasm and love in their hearts that you will ever see. It's unbelievable. It's not something we've seen in this country. And that, my friends, is infectious. And the body politic is now infected with that Ron Paul revolution bug. And let me tell you, it is spreading for real. Then we have this piece here. Well, what's the slant that they take on it? Well, we can't explain it. There's just no real... It's a real head-scratcher. You know, you get some bald guy with glasses on the TV in a suit. All of a sudden, he's an authority. Well, what's this authority have to say about the most extraordinary political phenomenon to have emerged in the United States since... You'd have to go back to the Kennedys and beyond to even come up with an analogy for this. He has no answer. Excuse me, how much is this jackass being paid to be on TV and tell us, gee, I don't know, it's kind of a head-scratcher. Nobody can figure it out. I mean, how stupid are we to listen and watch this drivel? Unbelievable. All right, I'll leave it at that. Let's see, we've got, let's give Kent Snyder a little FaceTime here on the Freedom Message. He was on Tucker Carlson. Actually, it's Tucker Carlson that we're really going to watch this for. So here we go with Kent Snyder on Tucker Carlson's show on MSNBC.
The only recognizable celebration yesterday of the Boston Tea Party's 234th anniversary was held by the Ron Paul for President campaign, or by supporters of it. Sam Adams was represented in his anti-taxation spirit by raising more than $6 million in a single day. That's a record. So where does this richly funded but unlikely bid for presidency go from here? What is the end game? Here to tell us is Ron Paul's campaign chairman, Kent Snyder. Mr. Snyder, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Here, what is the end game?
The United States. I mean, it's really surprising. We had about 55,000 people donate the $6 million in a 24-hour period. But what's really interesting for us is that about 24,000 of those people were first-time donors.
I saw Ron Paul give a You know, there's going to be a day where they're going to raise money. He didn't even know what the date was. You know, there's going to be a day where they're going to raise money. He didn't even know what the date was. In place, this fundraising, almost completely outside the campaign itself.
Right. Well, that's kind of the beauty of our campaign. Dr. Paul talks about freedom, decentralization, and of course, because of the internet, now people are able to actually create things and take the initiative and actually do things because of the internet. So our job as a campaign is obviously to present Dr. Paul and do more of the traditional things, but also at the same time to make sure we get out of the way of a lot of very energetic and supportive people out there to do what they want to do. And of course, yesterday is proof of that.
So this is a campaign that flies Southwest, stays at
yes.
the Best Western, eats in diners. I've seen it firsthand.
Right.
You've got a lot of cash on hand as a result of that
right.
thriftiness. What are you going to do with all that money?
Well, it's still as expensive, as you know, to run a national campaign. From the beginning of this campaign back in January, I said we're going to have to be successful, we're going to have to blend the old techniques with the new techniques. So we still have to do radio, television, direct mail, travel expenses, and those sorts of things. And, of course, the country is very big. But, you know, we're using the Internet as much as we can, but it's going to be a proper blend of the old and the new, and I think that's what we're doing now.
Do you have any sense of what's drawing people? I mean, there's so many facets to Ron Paul's
yeah.
message. The small government element, the foreign policy stuff. What's the main draw?
I've thought about that quite a bit, and Dr. Paul and I have talked about it. I really think what it comes down to now is people want real change. They really do. And that what it is that change, the change really is the message that we have, peace, freedom, and prosperity. There's a lot of people out there that I talk to around the country who what I call disgruntled Republicans. They realize that the Republican Party isn't the party of big government or small government anymore. They don't like it. But at the same time, our campaign is drawing a lot of new people who never were interested in politics. I mean, for example, not too long ago, I had a gentleman call. I happened to answer the phone. The gentleman said, I'm in my mid-40s. I've never registered to vote. I've never voted in my life. I heard Dr. Paul speak. I am now on my way to the DMV to register to vote for the very first time in my life. So for that perspective, we're drawing some disgruntled Republicans, but also a lot of people who are new to the political system.
So it is a movement. I called it a movement mm-hmm. throughout the show. That was not tongue-in-cheek.
No.
You've literally broken the record in one-day fundraising.
That's
you broke
correct.
The record. And it was on A147 in this morning's Washington Post. I mean, it was a tiny item in the paper. It was ignored.
Right.
That must drive you bananas.
Right. Yes. But we're used to this. But we're working to make sure that we get out there more and more. But you know, I think that the mainstream media, by and large, they are a little bit behind the times. I mean, comments often about the press is usually about a year or two behind. The point is, something's going on out there. People like yourself and a few others are recognizing that. But a senior producer for one of the major news shows told me not too long ago, there is something going on. There's a story, and we're trying to find it out. So I think more people now are realizing there is, in fact, something going on.
Yeah, John Stossel did a full hour with Ron Paul. They didn't even put it on ABC. They put it online.
Yes, right.
So, all right, good. Ken Snyder, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks
Thank you very
me.
Much.
There is a story, and they're trying to find it. They're trying to find it? Excuse me, it was down at the Santa Monica Pier with 1,200 people, and you were invited, senior producer of whatever network Kent Snyder was referring to. They're trying to find it? Well, you know, it's good that we have some people like Tucker Carlson, and we have Jack Cafferty, and we also have Joe Scarborough talking about Ron Paul in positive tones. So let's go ahead and listen to what Ron Paul had to say with Joe Scarborough this morning on Morning Joe.
Presidential candidate, Congressman Ron Paul. Ron, good to see you again.
Good morning, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
Now, Ron, I don't want to talk out of school here, but I'm just going to say it. When we were members of Congress, a lot of times you'd go on the floor, you'd sit alone. People treated you like I, by myself, with people treating me like a plague. But now you say when you walk onto the floor, you're a popular guy. Republicans surround you, and they want to know about one thing. How are you raising all that money?
Yeah, they do. They do ask me about it. Democrats are interested, but they are asking.
It's a unifying message. money.
They're asking the wrong question. I mean, it isn't a technique, it's a message. It's a message that's been out there, and people come to us, they said, how do I raise that money? And I don't. The grassroots get together on the internet and they come to me. So it's completely different than having a high-paid expert that knows how to use the internet. It has nothing to do with that. And it's pretty amazing seeing that we don't even have to pay commissions and we don't have to pay direct mail costs. And, you know, to get 25,000 brand new donors in one day is pretty amazing.
Ron, $18 million. That's your fourth quarter tally. You've got you set the record. In the history of American politics, nobody has ever raised more money on a single day than you.
Gosh.
And yet, this is happening without your campaign people coordinating it. This is completely about grassroots, and it's completely about you just saying what you believe in. It's got to jolt the political system.
Yeah, and there's no special interest money, no PAC money, no bundling. The median donation is $50. There's just a huge number of people in this country who are very, very frustrated. People who have never voted before, people who have dropped out, independents, Democrats. They're just looking for something different. I never believed it would be so big, but it's much bigger than anybody imagined. And I believe, you know, we didn't coin the word, but somebody claims there's a revolution going on. In the good sense of the term, I think there really is. There's a revolt in this country against this.
Ron Paul?
Well, he's done that behind closed doors for a long time, but I think he said it on the air that he was going to vote for him. But he did ask your campaign spokesman there, Congressman, how frustrating it is to having raised all this money, raised $6 million in a single day, and there it is buried on page, 50 of the Washington Post. Is it frustrating not being able to grab the headlines the way you ought to be?
Well, I guess a little bit, but I just totally ignore it. I mean, I didn't ever depend on them in the first place, and the message is being spread. The numbers of people are growing that are joining us. The money is there, so we're proving ourselves, but we still have to prove ourselves by doing very well in the election. So I just concentrate on what I'm supposed to do, try to make sure they know what I stand for, and reach as many people as possible. If the media doesn't handle it correctly, I figure it's their problem, not my problem.
And if you look at the polls, I'm just wondering, I mean, you got the media coverage issue, which Willie just brought up. Do you think this will translate into votes?
Certainly. And I think the land-based phones, they just have cell phones, and most of them are not didn't vote in the last go-around, so they don't get called. And so many people like Trevor, who did all this fundraising for us, he's never voted before. He's 37 years old. But he just represents one of millions of people who have been totally disgusted. So something special is going on, and whether it translates into what we think could happen here in the primaries or it takes a little longer, I don't know that. But I do know there's something very significant going on. I think we're facing a crisis. I think people are tired of our foreign policy, tired of the spending, tired of the inflation, and this economy is much weaker than they think. And there's a bad sign about our dollar going down. All these things spell trouble for this country. And I think we offer a solution. It's a great solution. You know, the old-fashioned solution, the Constitution and freedom and self-reliance. What else could we expect? It's just sort of the American tradition. And so it's very exciting that there's so many people joining us.
Ron, do you think you're going to do well in Iowa, or are you going to save your money for New Hampshire, where there's a strong libertarian streak?
No, I'm in Iowa right now, and we're spending the money. Sometimes we have to be creative enough to figure out how to spend the money, but we're in good shape. We'll spend it, but we'll be in good shape to spend money for February 5th. So this is very encouraging. But we're working hard in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina and Michigan and Nevada. So we have the funds to do it, and that's why they sent the money, not to put it in the bank, but to spend it and get votes.
If you don't win the Republican nomination, will you put your name on the Libertarian line this summer?
I have no intention of doing that. I have no plans for that. We're in the midst of this primary. We haven't had one election yet, so I have no intentions of doing that.
But you won't rule it out?
Well, nearly. About as close as I can, 99.9%. I think it's so biased. Matter of fact, I think even some of the states say that if you ran on a major party ticket, you're not allowed to file as an independent or go to another party. I don't even know those laws well enough, but those are not in my mind. I do not think about that. That is not my intention. I don't have any plans to do that.
You had an interesting comment about the Iraq war. Condoleezza Rice obviously last night went over to Iraq. She's there right now. A lot of people waking up for that news. And you commented that you're not one of these people that are against the war because you think it was mishandled. You were saying you can't manage a bad war. Is that right?
That is exactly the point. A bad war is when you start it yourselves and you go in there without a declaration. You don't know who the real target is. There's no real enemy. It becomes a political war. Actually, one of the reasons we went in there and gave the president this authority was to enforce UN resolutions. Now, you can't manage that. And some of the candidates now who voted for the war complain only, oh, it's being mismanaged. I can manage this war much better. No, you're exactly right. It's overall policy. It's foreign policy. I want the foreign policy of the founding fathers, the foreign policy of George Bush of the year 2000, the humble foreign policy and no nation building, no policing of the world. That's what I want. That's what the American people want. Besides, we can't afford this foreign policy anymore. We're going broke, and we have to quit before it collapses on us.
Let me ask you about other wars, whether you supported them or not, whether, again, just so people have a better understanding of your view of foreign policy. What about the first Gulf War? Did you support or oppose that?
No, I did not, because there was no declaration. We weren't attacked. Our national security was not threatened.
Okay.
And that was a regional war that should not have involved us.
What about Bosnia and Kosovo?
Absolutely opposed to, and all the Republicans almost were opposed to that. I mean, they even had an they had a suit against
right.
Clinton, and that's what George Bush ran against. Non-intervention, they
right.
thought that was way too much.
Okay, I was going to say, what about Vietnam and Korea? Do you think those wars should not have been fought?
Absolutely not. They were, once again, the same arguments, undeclared wars. Our national security was not threatened. We didn't win the wars. A lot of men got killed, and it cost us a lot of money, and we're still in Korea. Makes no sense whatsoever.
World War II?
World War II would be hard to avoid, but you have to understand why World War II was fought. It was because of World War I. That was a continuation of one war, and we should not have gotten into World War I. Wilson dragged us into that war. The war was almost over, and it was a stalemate, and he wanted to participate in the Versailles Treaty, and that was the disaster. The Versailles Treaty, for instance, designed this modern Iraq and created the problems that we're facing today because of that. But World War I really led to Hitler and then World War II.
So over the past century, the only war that you would say America should have been involved with would have been World War II?
That was the only one that was justified because we were attacked viciously, and then Germany declared war against us.
Okay.
But if you look at the overall policy, it could have been prevented by us, having a wiser foreign policy earlier on.
All right. So finally, let me ask you, we obviously are facing some economic hardships right now. We've got the big question of tax cuts, whether we continue George Bush's tax cuts as we go into the next presidency. Do you believe that we continue the Bush tax cuts, or do you believe that they are fiscally reckless?
No, I think they should be continued, but it's fiscally reckless, not because you cut taxes, but because we continue to spend. I feel very comfortable in always voting for tax cuts. I want a lot more tax cuts. I want to get rid of the income tax, but I vote against all the spending just as you did when you were in the Congress.
There
That's what has to be done. We have to cut the spending.
There you go. You see, baby, we got the Mike Huckabee Baby Jesus commercial that a lot of people too. I can say amen to that. Cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes, and spending. All right, Ron Paul, let me tell you something. You've got one voter in Florida that's never voted before, my 19-year-old son. Joey Scarborough, a member
wonderful.
Of the Ron Paul Revolution. So, all right, thanks so much for being with us.
All right, so here's a quasi-endorsement from Joe Scarborough. His son, young Joey Scarborough, is apparently a Ron Paul supporter. And Joe always gives Ron a fair shake when he comes on the show. And he asks a couple of tough questions. He did get into the war issue really deeply, and clearly Ron Paul is presenting a very old line, there's got to be a better word for it than that, well, conservative, and historically conservative point of view on foreign affairs, and it does appear to border on isolationism to a certain extent. I myself often wonder, you know, we really did have the communist threat in those years, and it was a difficult balancing act to, you know, to not be engaged in the world, to not have stepped out to engage the communists in some way, shape, or form, certainly would have compromised us and put us in a situation where we ultimately would have been surrounded and crushed just from, and suffocated just from being surrounded. And on the other hand, you know, there's certainly strong arguments to make about our involvement in places like Korea and Vietnam. So, you know, pretty tough questions to ask, but Ron Paul is a man of principle, and he believes in the principle of non-intervention and of taking care of business at home first and being an example to the world rather than trying to force your way onto the world. And with that general principle, I definitely adhere 100%. Joe Scarborough apparently did get the memo, or at least read part of the memo. The part of the memo must say, you will be fired if you do not ask Ron Paul about running as a third-party candidate. Apparently that's required, because I think if we go back, we're not going to see one single interview that we played today which doesn't bring up Ron Paul in third-party or independent run. Apparently, it must be in the contract. When you interview Ron Paul, you have to ask him, aren't you planning on running as a third-party candidate? Because the implication of that is, of course, that you're not going to win the Republican nomination, so you better start looking elsewhere, buddy. And that's the implication. One which I do not accept, and nor do most Ron Paul supporters that I know. I think we've got a real shot at winning this nomination if we all get off our butts and do something about it. Ron Paul on CNN American Morning. Let's have a look and a listen. Coming right up.
In a single day, it was on the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, and it's not the first time. Last month's 24-hour money bomb detonated to the tune of $4.2 million. Can he translate those campaign trail in Des Moines? Great to see you this morning. Thanks for being with us, Congressman.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, so we haven't seen this record broken. I think it was after John Kerry in 2004 won already the Democratic nomination that he raised slightly less than the amount you raised in one day. The polling, though, still has you at about 6% of registered Republicans. Those are the ones who say they would vote for you in the primary. There's our CNN poll. How do you translate that money into more success in the polls?
Well, you got to spend the money and get the vote out, and that will be a challenge, but we also have to consider the fact that the polls might not be exactly accurate, because we appeal to a lot of independent voters and disgruntled Republicans who have dropped out, who might not have voted in the last go-around, so they're not being polled. We also attract a lot of young people who have not voted before, and they are energizing the campaign, so they won't have been called, and a lot of them have cell phones anyway. So I think the poll numbers aren't completely accurate, but there's no reason for us to think that this is going to be an easy thing to do. We have to take that money and do the conventional things and advertise and get the vote out, and that is what we're doing right now.
When you say it's not completely accurate, what do you anticipate, that you'd be in double digits if people came out to vote? Do you think you'd be one of the leading candidates in some of these states?
Well, it's real hard to say, but I would say we're doing a lot better. I wouldn't be saying that we know that we're in first or second, but I'll bet we're a lot better than they claim we are, because where's the enthusiasm coming from? We had 57,000 people donate on Sunday, and 25,000 were brand new, so there's something very significant going on, and I don't think anybody quite has understood this, but the people are very unhappy in this country, and they're going to be voting differently this time, and that's what this message is telling us. I mean, this is pretty unbelievable, because, you know, on Sunday, we raised the $6 million plus.
But the next day, it seems like people just couldn't even get on. This Sunday, we raised another $500,000, and this doesn't cost us anything. You know, we don't pay commissions.
Well, let me ask you that. Well, I just want to ask you about this, though. How do you then translate that to this well-oiled machine that needs to be up and running in all of the precincts and all of these main early states like Iowa, like New Hampshire? You know, for example, we have Trevor Lyman. He is the man behind some of your fundraising. In fact, being credited with the big fundraising blitz. He's a 37-year-old music promoter, no political experience, and as you said, has never voted before. How do you fold him in officially to your campaign so that you guys can get a machine up and working in some of these places?
Well, there are a lot of people just like him, but they've already registered, and they're not being polled, and they're working hard, and they're donating money. And the final answer has to be in the in the final vote, in the primary.
Are you going to add him officially to your campaign?
Well, you know, I've only talked to him, I think, just once. I don't know him, and he's just dead in the Constitution. So no, there hasn't been any talk about him becoming an official member of the campaign, but he's an official member of this group of people who are disgusted with what's happening in this country, and he's just one of millions, I am convinced.
Let me ask you about this then, because so many of your views and a lot of your campaign is generating support outside of the mainstream. Would you consider running as an independent?
I haven't considered that. I have no plans of doing this. And we have this money. We have this momentum. It's so early. We haven't had one vote. So I have no intention of doing that.
Why not, though? Why do you want to? A lot of your views are very divergent from the Republican Party and from the voters that traditionally the Republican Party picks from to gain momentum. Why not consider an independent run?
Well, because I think I've been a Republican all my life. I've been elected 10 times. I think the Republican Party used to stand for fiscal conservatism. They used to believe in the Constitution. They used to believe in a humble foreign policy. They used to believe in getting rid of the Department of Education. I would say that maybe the Republicans that are running right now don't fit the Republican mold, and I do.
Before I let you go, by the way, you talked about foreign policy. There's an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal that says it's because of your foreign policy that makes you a non-serious candidate in today's terror world, that it really is your non-interventionist that is going to work against you in terms of getting votes. Do you agree?
Exactly the opposite is true, because if you don't understand what I'm talking about, terrorism will get worse, because terrorists come here because we occupy those foreign countries. They don't come here because we're free and prosperous. And if we don't understand that, we can't solve it. But when we invade foreign countries, impose our will on them and tell them that we're going to tell them how to live, and they see us attacking their religion and stealing their oil, there's always going to be a few radicals who will be willing to commit suicide terrorism against us. If we don't understand that, we cannot solve it. So I say, I have the answers. They're confused. If they don't change, terrorism is going to continue.
Congressman Ron Paul, Republican presidential candidate. Thanks for talking with
me. Okay, so, well, she clearly got the memo. She clearly hammered away at the third-party independent angle. Gosh, it would be quite something to go back and chronicle how many consecutive times Ron Paul has been asked that question by the same interviewer, no doubt. Over and over and over again. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. I think he's answered the question already. Okay, can we move on to the next thing, please? He has no intention of running as an independent third-party candidate. He's answered it over and over and over again. Next question. If I was Ron Paul, that's what I would say. You know, I think I've answered that question. Can we go on to the next question, please? Maybe if Ron Paul could get some staff that could actually, you know, help him with these kinds of things, rather than consuming entire minutes of valuable interview time on things that he has already clearly publicly made his position clear on. So if you're counseling Ron Paul out there, and you might happen to be listening, maybe you could counsel him to say politely to the interviewer, I've already answered that question on a number of occasions. Can we move on to the next topic, please? And leave it at that. Next topic, please. Good grief. All right. And she goes on to state that non-intervention will clearly work against you in this election for the Republican nomination. And this interview is clearly someone who has not a clue about what's really happening politically. I mean, she is someone who reads stuff off a teleprompter, an empty head, without a real clue about what's really going on in this country. Okay, first of all, if you're going to win the election, you're going to win because you are taking a non-interventionist position, because that is what the majority of Americans want and recognize as necessary. That's why they are responding to Ron Paul's message. They're responding to it because they hear it and they know that it is true and that it is right for America. Ron Paul's intervention of position of non-intervention. Now, another thing that she's absolutely clueless, she harps on this, well, now you've got all this money, now you have to put together a well-oiled machine. She says this several times. Well, how are you going to create the machine? We see, the thing is, we're not a machine. We are an organism, a living, breathing organism of people. We're not a machine that is fed oil. Well-oiled machine, that's really interesting. No, we are organic, alive, living, human beings with functioning, open minds who make decisions based on what we know to be true and right. And we act on it. Not a machine. Ron Paul doesn't have a machine. Ron Paul doesn't want a machine. Ron Paul is not going to spend his money to create a machine because he doesn't need one. He has us, the American people, supporting him. Thank you very much. Aren't you going to add Trevor Lyman to your payroll, essentially, she says? Why? The guy's doing an outstanding job doing what he's doing right here and now. What does he need to be part of the payroll for? Why do you pay for something you got for free? Hello? Now, again, the thing about the polls. She goes on about the polls. And I'd like to say, you know, this was actually a good interview because Ron Paul actually, she doesn't have the skills to drown him out, to interrupt him while he's just about to make his point. She doesn't have those skills of say, a Glenn Beck, which we're going to see tonight. I'll try to get in a comment about that. Note to self, talk about Glenn Beck interview. Okay, she doesn't have those kind of skills, you know. So Ron Paul is able to actually say what he wants to say. But she does bring up, of course, the polls and, you know, and we have to keep in mind, again, that these polls are polls of, quote, likely Republican voters. Now, if you go to any Ron Paul gathering and you ask for a show of hands and you ask, you know, how many of you would have considered yourself a likely Republican voter, very few hands would go up. Okay? Either you're a Republican that dropped out and you weren't going to vote Republican unless you were voting for Ron Paul, or you would be like me. I wouldn't have voted for anybody at all until Ron Paul came along. I was not a likely Republican voter. I was highly unlikely to vote Republican. I was highly unlikely to vote at all. I'm only voting because there's a man who deserves my vote, Ron Paul. Okay, moving on. We have one more clip to play for you, and then I'm going to speak to you about the next big thing. The next big thing. One more clip here. Ron Paul on Fox and Friends. This is entertaining.
Showed the power of the internet. Can you translate that vote or those cash amounts into votes?
Texas Congressman and presidential hopeful Ron Paul is in Des Moines. He joins us live. Good morning to you, Congressman.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay, that's good. We're glad to hear that. Gretchen's going to go into the whole thing about how you raise the money in a minute or so. But I wanted to ask you about something. Mike Huckabee has started running an ad in Iowa, where you're at right now, also in New Hampshire and South Carolina. And in the back, it's a window pane, but it looks a lot like a cross. And we had a guest a little while ago who said he thought it was inappropriate to be using religion for political purposes. Congressman, I'm just curious what you think.
Being with our family. Well, I haven't thought about it completely, but you know, it reminds me of what Sinclair Lewis once said. He says, when fascism comes to this country, it will be wrapped in the flag carrying a cross. And I don't know whether that's a fair assessment or not, but you wonder about using a cross like he is the only Christian or implying that subtly. So I don't think I would ever use anything like that.
Well, I certainly don't think, you know, Governor Huckabee is not selling fascism. He's simply sending out a Christmas message. Anyway, just curious how you felt about that. Congressman, if you would sit right there in Des Moines for a Christmas message. Anyway, just curious how you felt about that conversation with Ron Paul live from Des Moines. Plus,
a little later on, the number three. We're back with presidential candidate Ron Paul. Good morning to you again, Congressman.
Good morning.
So some people might call you the million-dollar man, but actually you're the six and some change million-dollar man, because on Sunday, that's how much your supporters raised for you over the Internet. How did you do it?
Well, I didn't do it. The supporters did it. They did it spontaneously. They organized it themselves, and they found me on the Internet. And they did. It was over $6 million, and even yesterday there was another $500,000 because some people, I guess, couldn't get in on the Internet the first day. But, you know, to me it is astounding. We had over 55,000 donations. 25,000 were brand new donors, so something very special is going on in the country, and we've tapped into it. I think the message of the Constitution and individual freedom and limited government and a changed foreign policy is really catching on.
So are these people who are donating to your campaign the people who are not being called in the polls? Because nationally and in Iowa and New Hampshire, you still are in single digits as far as support.
That is right, because a lot of people who support me used to be Republicans, and they dropped out of disgust, and they didn't vote last time, so therefore they wouldn't be on the rolls. Also, it's made up of a lot of young people who haven't voted before, and they're college kids, and they carry cell phones, so they're not going to be polled. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the polls are accurate, but we don't know exactly where we stand, because nobody knows. The only way we're going to find out is to have an election. So I'm sure we're going to do much better than the polls show.
Okay, let me do a little kind of a situation with you here. I'm going to say a topic, and if you can give me a one-word response. Iraq.
One word, okay.
Iraq.
Iraq. We need to come home.
Mainstream media.
Well, the mainstream media, I can't do it in one word. You know, mainstream media does their thing, and we have to fight for our coverage, but I think we're doing quite well, and we get the coverage I think we need.
Immigration.
Immigration, we should change the rules on immigration. We shouldn't encourage and subsidize illegal immigration.
War on terror.
Pardon me?
War on terror.
War on terror. Yeah, we better understand what the motive is. If we don't understand the motive, if we think terrorism comes from the fact that we're rich and free, believe me, we'll never solve that problem. We better understand foreign policy if we expect to take care of the terrorists coming here in this country.
All right, Congressman Ron Paul, thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Utterly amazing. Congressman, give me a one-word answer to the most complex problems of our time. Excuse me, you dits. I mean, what kind of world do you live in? One word answer. Are you living in a soundbite world? You know nothing about how do you even speak to Congressman Paul? Excuse me. Unbelievable. Give me a one word answer. We call this journalism in this country today? Absolutely phenomenal. Beyond anything that a reasonable human being could comprehend. Oh, Lord. Okay. Let me tell you. Okay, let's start with this. Okay. Ron Paul is going to be interviewed by Glenn Beck tonight. It may even be happening right now. I am not optimistic about this. I was against it. I think it's a bad move. Glenn Beck is a bully and Ron Paul is a nice guy. Unless some serious ground rules were negotiated for this. I mean, serious ground rules were made and negotiated for this. It was a bad move. We'll see how it turns out, but I'm not optimistic. I am hoping for the best. God knows I am. But I don't like Glenn Beck. I don't think we need him. And I think we should have just ignored him. But I could be totally wrong. I could be absolutely, and I hope that I am. I honestly do. I honestly do. That's just me going on the record about how I feel. You know, and, you know, guys, should, if you listen to me, you know, you should know by now. I just tell you how I feel and what I think. You know, if it's supportive of the campaign, I'll tell you I feel supportive. If not supportive, I'll tell you about it. I'm not someone who's going to just be pie. If Ron Paul says something I don't like, I'm going to tell you about it. I think he did a bad job answering a question or in an interview, I'm going to tell you about it. I just, you know, it doesn't detract from my love, literally, love for Ron Paul. As a matter of fact, I think if you love somebody and you really care and respect them, then you offer helpful, constructive criticism whenever possible. You know, because that's how people grow. You know, they always say, it's only your best friend that tells you you got crap on your nose. You know? Other people let you walk around with the crap on your... Oops, no, my nose is clean. Okay, but, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? Only your best friend's going to tell you. Other people let you walk around looking like a fool. Okay, so that's how I feel about it. So, anyway, Mike Gravel will be my guest on Friday on the Freedom Message. Tune in, call in. We'll have the lines open for callers to ask him some questions. He's a fun, colorful guy. Seems like a pretty decent human being. He seems like he's for real. He seems like an old line, you know, Democrat, back when that used to mean something, you know. So we're going to have him on the show. What the heck? And it's going to be a fun time. Let's look forward to Mike Gravel on the Freedom Message Friday. And the last thing I'd like to tell you about is The Next Big Thing is a project that I'm working on. Now, to be serious, it's called the Message of Freedom Campaign, a.k.a. Call for Paul, Operation Call for Paul. And we feel, those who are putting this program together, who have put this program together, that this can be the vehicle, the tool that will help us put this campaign over the top. Now, it's a voice broadcasting system, and we send out a message. We can call hundreds of thousands of numbers simultaneously. Now, let me back up a little bit and tell you that a Ron Paul supporter is offering the use of this technology for a very concessionary rate, a rate that is unattainable elsewhere. And we have the ability to call hundreds of thousands of people with a recorded message about Ron Paul. When someone receives the message, they can choose to press 1 to be connected with a live volunteer Ron Paul supporter. And if they'd like to, we can send them a piece of a mailing. And we have another Ron Paul supporter who has offered the use of their technology for an automated mailing, so that the rep, who the volunteer supporter who takes that call, can enter the address of the caller that the voter that they're talking to, and immediately automatically prints out stuffs and mails a very professional looking Ron Paul mailer to the potential voter. So we have this technology. We're already using it. As a matter of fact, we're doing another calling tomorrow. We have two call centers already set up, one in Los Angeles, which opens tomorrow, and one in Irvine, California. Now, you can set up your own call center anywhere you want. You can raise your own money and pay for your own calls. To put it in perspective, the same amount of money that was raised for the blimp, $350,000, would pay for 17,000 messages delivered. That's delivered, not calls placed, but messages actually listened to. 17, did I say 1,000? I meant to say million. 17 million messages delivered to actual eardrums of actual human being American voters listening to messages about Ron Paul, and also speaking to Ron Paul support volunteers. This is powerful. Folks, we don't have a lot of time. We need fast, we need cheap, and we need good. And this has it all. Fast, cheap, good. We got to do this. We got to get together $500,000 to reach 25 million Americans with a message of freedom about Ron Paul. We can do this. It is amazingly effective. I have sat in on these callings, and the phones do not stop ringing. Person after person after person pressing one to speak to somebody about Ron Paul. I really want to know more about this guy. I've heard about him. There's a buzz. My uncle is voting for him. I don't know enough. Can you tell me more? Can you send me something? Unbelievable. We have to do this. This can be the deciding factor. If we get together $500,000, $500,000, that is 10,000 Ron Paul supporters giving $50. Can we get 10,000 Ron Paul supporters to give $50 and change the dynamics of this election? Can we do it? We can do it. We have to do it. This is an opportunity that we cannot miss out. This is the next big thing, the thing that is going to push us over the top. So please support Message of Freedom Operation Call for Paul. Go to ronpaulfreedommessage.com. ronpaulfreedommessage.com. That's my website. Look for the link for the Message of Freedom campaign, upper right-hand corner. Click on it and donate. Donate. Give some money. If you're a Ron Paul supporter and if you're a Ron Paul organizer in your area, organize some fundraising for this. And organize your own call center. All you need is an office with telephones, and we can hook it up for you. Get in touch with me, ronpaulfreedommessage.com, or email me at freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. We need to hear from you on this. You need to get involved in this. This is the next big thing. This is what's going to help us win this election. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will be back on Friday with an interview with Mike Gravel. Before I go, actually, let me play three. What I'm going to do is play three of the audio files that we actually play on two people. You're going to hear what people in Michigan were listening to last week when we called them. I'm going to play three of those and then a song, and we'll be done and out. So thanks a lot. Again, remember, Friday, Mike Gravel on the Freedom Message.
Hello. Are you happy about the direction this country is moving in? If not, then do something about it. Vote for the champion of the Constitution, Ron Paul. To learn more of Ron Paul, please press 1 to speak to a Ron Paul supporter. Dr. Paul will put an end to the Iraq War and go after those responsible for 9/11. Ron Paul will secure our borders and say no to amnesty. Dr. Ron Paul will end the inflation tax and put an end to the federal income tax. You worked for that money. It's yours. Who knows how to better spend your money, you or the government? Dr. Ron Paul will reduce the size of government, support your privacy, and stop the runaway government spending that is bankrupting this country. Let's restore sound foreign policy, sound money policy, and sound immigration policy. Ron Paul has a 20-year voting record to support what he says. We are tired of business-as-usual politics. We want real change. It's time we get informed of someone who truly wants the government in the hands of the people. The champion of the Constitution, Ron Paul. To learn more of Ron Paul, please press 1 to speak to a Ron Paul supporter, or go to www.ronpaul2008.com, or call 1-877-RON-PAUL. Paid for by Americans United for Liberty, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Can I have a moment of your time to tell you about the only presidential candidate that will restore the Constitution and the rule of law? Ron Paul is the only presidential candidate that will put an end to the war in Iraq. Ron Paul has received more donations from military personnel than any other presidential candidate. Ron Paul will secure our borders and say no to amnesty. To learn more of Ron Paul, please press 1 to speak to a Ron Paul supporter. Ron Paul has been rated an A-plus by the American Taxpayers Association 10 years in a row. Ron Paul's congressional voting record of 20 years has consistently shown that he will reduce the size of government, give government control back to the people, balance our budget, and put an end to the outrageous government spending. Small government, low taxes, secure borders, and a foreign policy of peace. Vote Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution. To learn more of Ron Paul, please press 1 to speak to a Ron Paul supporter. Or go to www.ronpaul2008.com or call 1-877-RON-PAUL. Paid for by Americans United for Liberty, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Who is Ron Paul? Ron Paul is a presidential candidate, and he is taking America by storm. He's the only candidate that will put an end to the war in Iraq. To learn more of Ron Paul, please press 1 to speak to a Ron Paul supporter. Ron Paul will protect and secure our borders and absolutely say no to amnesty. President Ronald Reagan once said, "Ron Paul is one of the outstanding leaders fighting for a stronger national defense." Dr. Ron Paul is pro-life, has been married to the same woman for over 50 years, is an OBGYN doctor, and is a 10-term congressman. The National Taxpayer Association has rated Dr. Paul an A+, 10 years in a row. Please press 1 for more information about this wonderful candidate that even our founding fathers would approve of. For over 20 years, Congressman Ron Paul has always voted on the side of the Constitution. Always. For more information, go to www.ronpaul2008.com or call 1-877-RON-PAUL. Paid for by Americans United for Liberty, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Let's all say goodbye to the Federal Reserve. No more IRS breathing down our neck. Congressman Paul says that there's a chance that we might bring our freedom back. No more UN, get us out of Iraq. No more NAFTA, no more GATT. If you wanna follow the Constitution, it's time to join the revolution. I don't know where we went wrong, but we've been on this road too long. There's a landslide on the way, coming down election day. Now they can't ignore us anymore like they did before. The money's growing and the polls are showing more and more. They can lie and they can spin, but they can't miss our new Zeppelin. They can run, but they can't hide from a Ron Paul landslide. I don't know where we went wrong, but we've been on this road too long. There's a landslide on the way, coming down election day. I'll never take an ID card. We can't let him go that far. Well, there's only one issue this time, but it's a question of all time. Let's all vote for a solution, the champion of the Constitution. I don't know where we went wrong, been on this road too long. There's a landslide on the way, coming down election day.
Hi, I'm Stephen Vincent. Thank you for joining me. That was Jake Kellen with a new Ron Paul song called Landslide, the Ron Paul song. Like it. Haven't heard a nice country rocker yet in the Ron Paul genre, and there you have one. Well, hope you're having a great Tuesday. Didn't you have a great Sunday if you're a Ron Paul supporter? You sure did. $6 million plus in a single day. Major gatherings of Ron Paul supporters across the country. Here in Los Angeles, in the adjacent city of Santa Monica, down by the sea, we had a total of about 1,200 Ron Paul supporters turn out from all over Southern California for a very enthusiastic, very passionate rally for Ron Paul. The Santa Monica Tea Party. We marched a couple of miles through town, and let me tell you, it was something else. I mean, it just went on and on and on for as far as the eye could see. Every kind of person you can imagine. We really turned some heads and had a great time doing it. Waking up L.A. to Ron Paul and the Ron Paul Revolution. We were joined by G. Edward Griffin. We're very pleased to have him join us. He gave us a great introduction and a great indictment of the Federal Reserve Bank before we dumped it into the river, symbolized by the crate that we had created for the Federal Reserve and for all of the 10 evils that we dispatched with at our Tea Party. It was quite a lot of fun. I had the pleasure of presenting the indictment against the warfare state and got the crowd quite riled up. That was certainly an enjoyable time for me, and had a great time hosting the entire event. We were joined by the hotties for Ron Paul, who presented their new calendar and actually presented me with an autographed version of the calendar. That was quite special. And thanks to the hotties and Juliet Annarino, who put that together. Quite a day. We partied after that into the evening, well into the evening, at two different locations. And it was one heck of a day. Really a celebration of freedom and a celebration of our Ron Paul revolution. So, unfortunately, we did not have any media at our event. Absolutely astounding. It's not like we didn't let them know. But, yes, we had a gathering of, it may have been more than 1,200 people. That's probably a median guess. It was over 1,000, between 1,000 and 1,600. We had one police officer estimate the crowd at about 1,600, a Santa Monica Police Department officer. We had one police officer who was part of our, he was actually the drummer in the pipe and drum corps that we had, or one of the drummers, and he estimated at 1,200. So we, by far, in Los Angeles, had the largest Tea Party celebration. There were large celebrations in other cities. Of course, Boston had about 500 in a blizzard. And there were about 1,000 people in Austin, Texas. And, of course, there were celebrations all over. Now, I could play you some of the footage from it, but unfortunately, most of it isn't really very radio-friendly. It's pretty visual. So I'm not going to go ahead and play any footage from the Tea Party celebrations. You can catch that on YouTube, no doubt. I think we will have some of the speeches in higher audio quality by Friday for you, and I'll see if I can squeeze in playing some of the speeches from the Tea Party celebrations, that including my speech, which was very, very much fun. I did it all up in kind of like a very, very much like a colonial rhetoric, and got the crowd juiced up and and riled up for Ron Paul. So, since then, of course, we've been looking at the coverage of the media on Ron Paul, and I think the general consensus is that we're somewhat disappointed. We got more coverage. Well, okay, the thought just occurs to me. We got more coverage the first time around when we raised $4.3 million, just $4.3 million. Than we did this time when we raised $6 million. Well, why? Because last time they had the Guy Fawkes terrorism bomb thing to latch on to. That's where most of the media attention was going to, not the fact that we raised the $4.3 million. So they were jumping out of their skins all over that story, weren't they? Well, this time all they had was a good, solid, patriotic American theme, and with people really announcing, literally, hey, this is the second American Revolution. It's happening right now. Well, don't want word about that getting out now, do we? So, of course, minimal coverage of a phenomenal achievement by any other campaign. So let's go ahead and we'll play some of this drivel from the lamestream media. I have to keep reminding myself not to use mainstream media, because they are on the outer fringes of what is acceptable. Okay, we are mainstream, and we are the new media. They are the old media. So let's hear from some of these old media sources, these has-beens, these soon to be swept away under the rug, left in the dustbin of history, etc., etc. Let's hear a little bit from them. Let's see, Fox News coverage on Ron Paul and the money bomb. Let's have a listen.
Carl was just mentioning big boatloads of money. Well, guess who's got some now? Presidential hopeful Ron Paul picking up the big bucks and breaking a fundraising record. Get this. His campaign raised over $6 million on Sunday. That is the most collected in a single day by any Republican. He did it with what is called a money bomb, an internet fundraiser to raise as much money as possible in just 24 hours. Ron Paul also held the previous record, raising over $4 million online in November. Money bomb, Bill.
Indeed it is.
He's one of those here in America's newsroom.
8 minutes now past the hour. From New Jersey. All right, Ron Paul now apparently is the bomb. He's the money bomb. A Texas Republican presidential candidate holding a fundraiser. Over the weekend on the internet. On the internet alone now, in 24 hours, $1 million.
That's a lot of dough.
One day. They call it a money bomb. That's the most money raised by any Republican candidate.
Well, presidential hopeful Ron Paul boosting his campaign war chest and breaking a big fundraising record. His campaign raising over $6 million yesterday. That's the most collected in a single day by any Republican. So how did he do it? Well, it was due to what's called a money bomb. That's an internet fundraiser to raise as much money as possible in 24 hours. And Paul's campaign is exclaiming, mission accomplished. Paul also held the previous record, bringing in $4 million in one day back in November.
Money bomb, I like that.
A big story coming out today, and you may have heard about this. This is Ron Paul. What a record-breaking day for this man. Ron Paul's supporters raised more than $6 million, they say, in a 24-hour period with online online donations. They call it a money bomb in the Paul campaign, and what a bomb it was. A spokesman says that the median contribution, about 50 bucks, according to his website, ronpaul.com, he's raised about $18 million for his campaign.
Oops. Okay. So, listen to that. Now, this gets back to the point that I was making earlier, the first point I made, that, well, we had all this coverage the first time around. Why? Because they had the Guy Fawkes and the V and the terrorism angle to harp on. And, well, what do we get from this Fox News? Oh, did a memo go out? You know, those memos that they all seem to get, and you hear the same thing over and over and over again. Well, apparently the memo is use the word bomb as often as possible. Money bomb, money bomb, money bomb, money bomb, money bomb. Okay? You know, if you give them an inch, what do they take? You know, a heck of a lot more than a mile. Okay, and they leave you with very little. Okay, so we got to be smarter and wiser. Money bomb, not a good idea. Let's not use terminology like that. You're only playing into their hands and giving them something to work with. So again, here we go. Money bomb, money bomb, money bomb, money bomb. I've listened to all of these other clips maybe once. We'll listen to them. CNN might be a little bit more generous, but I did hear that term an awful lot. Again, no details. They don't tell you that, they mentioned that the average donation was $50. They don't mention that how many people donated and how many first-time donations there are. Let me go to Ron Paul's website right now and see if I can pull that up for you, because this is the relevant information here. And where are we at right now? 18,375,000 and plus. Okay, let's see. Number of first-time donors this week. Number of first-time people who have donated to the Ron Paul campaign for the first time, 28,049. 28,000. Number of donations this week. I would assume that's unique individuals donating. 64,402. 64,000. So over 60,000 people donated in this. I mean, that's a phenomenal number. And of those, a significant portion were first-timers. We're at $6,454,000 for the week so far. Unbelievable. Okay, there is a revolution that's taking place right now, and people are coming to this campaign as the focal point for that energy, for that rebellion that is coming from the people, right from the people. Ron Paul, as you're going to hear in these interviews that he did today, has relatively little to do with it, except that he is the messenger, and he is getting us the message. And when we get the message, we respond to it. But Ben had to say yesterday about Ron Paul money bomb.
Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul, $6 million according to his campaign. Will it translate to a real political victory? Some of his supporters say it already has. More now from Mary Snow, part of the best political team on television.
They mark the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party to rally for Republican presidential hopeful Ron Paul and call for a modern-day revolution. They raised millions in a single day online and gathered in Boston to make a statement.
Well, I think my dad, Ron Paul, has always been one who believes at times there are times in our history when we have to say no. No to a government that's run away.
Ron Paul represented his father, whose image was never far away. His followers weren't deterred by the sleet and snow or by Paul's underdog status in the presidential race. If this is a revolution, then Linda Honeycutt is its daughter. She calls herself the Granny Warrior and travels in this bus to spread Ron Paul's message.
How many other candidates would you know of that would have people come out and stand in this mess, drive from North Carolina up here? I mean, it's just phenomenal. Ron Paul cannot lose. Even if he loses, he wins because he's opened up the box.
Paul's call to end the Iraq war and his libertarian views are what attracts these followers. And while his numbers have been stronger in fundraising than polls, some of his supporters say their revolution goes beyond the presidential election.
Ron Paul, he's a conduit, but the grassroots and the actual support, it runs deeper than that. It's throughout the whole United States.
Some supporters say they would like to see Ron Paul run as an independent if he doesn't win the Republican nomination. But that's something Paul has repeatedly said he wouldn't do. And if he doesn't, candidates in state races. Mary Snow, CNN, Boston.
Okay. So, again, the use of the word money bomb with some frequency in that clip, although overall not a bad clip where some supporters and Rand Paul were actually allowed to speak and get out their point of view. And let's see. Here's another piece from CNN later on in the day.
In an astounding $6 million online during yesterday's fundraising drive by supporters. Our internet reporter Abby Tatton is here. Abby, what is Ron Paul going to do with $6 million new money in cash?
Well, he spoke about that earlier today, John. Ron Paul calling this a shot in the arm for his campaign and one that means he can extend that campaign further and for longer.
A lot of times people can do one state or two states, but they have no resources, you know, for the later primaries, and we certainly will be in good shape for February 5th as well.
Ron Paul in that press conference acknowledged that this cash haul was the work of his supporters, these folks here online, Ron Paul fans who populate the websites and forums where you can actually follow along what they're trying to do to raise attention for this candidate. They've been doing it in the air with their Ron Paul blimp. If you look online at comment section, yep, they're all over the place and now reaching into their pockets for a second time to record-breaking effect. And with the Ron Paul campaign at their website reporting, they're up to over $18 million this quarter. That's more than any other Republican brought in last quarter. You can see that he's getting the attention that they'd like. John.
Abby Tatton, thanks so much. And Jack Cafferty joins.
Good. So remarkable numbers. Remarkable, remarkable. Okay. You know, pretty much a cursory surface level treatment of it, and really no in-depth Okay, here we go. So, pretty much a cursory treatment of the Ron Paul phenomenon there without any real in-depth exploration. Now, we go from there to someone who actually has something to say, Mr. Jack Cafferty, who I nominate for vice president and vice presidential running mate for Ron Paul. I like this guy a lot. I think he's a real, actual human being on a network news program. Let's have a listen to what Jack Cafferty.
Remember, for the latest political news anytime, check out our political ticker at cnn.com/ticker. Time now for the Cafferty File.
Jack joins us from New York, and I know Wolf always says this, so I have to say this. Jeff, you're part of that Emmy Award-winning team, too.
That's correct.
Happy Monday.
How about those Red Sox? Ron Paul becomes the $6 million man. That's the headline on Politico about the Republican presidential candidate's astounding fundraising accomplishment yesterday, the Boston Tea Party. Paul did it again. He raised more than $6 million online in a single day. And that follows a fundraiser last month that brought in $4.2 million in a single day. That's a pretty good hourly rate. The campaign says it's raised more than $18 million this quarter. This could very well mean that Ron Paul will outraise his Republican rivals for the fourth quarter, and if he does that, he'll be able to fund a presence in a lot of the states that will be voting on February 5th. Ron Paul has the kind of grassroots organizations that politicians dream about. In addition to his phenomenal fundraising abilities, mostly among small individual campaign contributors, he has a devoted following that in any given moment can almost overpower the internet. Any time that we mention Ron Paul's name here on the Situation Room, his supporters immediately begin writing to us in droves. They're fanatic in their devotion to him and very appreciative of any mentions we've ever given him. It's a phenomenon that's unique to Dr. Paul. We talk about all the candidates all the time, but we never, ever get a response to any of the rest of them like we get when we mention Ron Paul's name. It's pretty amazing. Nevertheless, most consider him a distant long shot, and he's stuck in the single digits in most of the national polls. So here's the question. If Ron Paul can raise more than $6 million in one day, how come he's not higher in the polls? Email your thoughts to CaffertyFile, CNN.com, or you can go to CNN.com/CaffertyFile, where you can post a comment on my blog. John,
I bet you're going to get quite a few emails, and bet quite a few of them come from Ron Paul supporters.
Well, we already have, actually. There's 700-800 emails came in before the program went on the air, because when they put the questions up on the internet site, people start writing right away. Did you write, John?
You are right about their enthusiasm. I don't write when I anchor, but you are right about their enthusiasm. When you're out at other campaign events across the country, Ron Paul supporters show up, a great deal of enthusiasm. I think you hit on the key question: can he translate the money and the enthusiasm into votes? And we're only a few weeks from finding out.
There you go.
We'll be back with you in a little bit. John McCain now has Joe Lieberman in his corner. Is this endorsement more of a statement about McCain's presidential bid? Or Jack is in New York now. Back to Jack for the Cafferty File.
If Huckabee does as well in Iowa as the polls indicate he might, a lot of those money problems might suddenly begin to disappear. Question this hour is, if Ron Paul can raise more than $6 million in one day, how come he's not higher in the polls? Doug Rice from Sierra Madre, California, not higher because Ron Paul doesn't appeal to most right-wingers. Mr. Paul makes sense and tells the truth, and that just annoys a lot of Republicans. Carlos writes, because he's not getting exposure in the mainstream media. The rise of Huckabee is a testament to this. As soon as Huckabee's name started being mentioned every 5 seconds, his poll numbers rose. Just because Ron Paul is low in the polls doesn't mean he shouldn't get news coverage. Those who get to hear his message absolutely fall in love with him. Not John, apparently. John in Keystone Heights, Florida. Ron Paul isn't near the top of the polls for one reason. His message sucks. John in Sacramento. As a liberal Democrat, I've watched Ron Paul over the last year. I don't understand why the media doesn't get that he represents a very disaffected segment of the Republican Party that hasn't had a real voice since Pat Buchanan in 1992. The Republicans operate like a massive corporation. Ron Paul represents a shareholders' revolt. Linda writes, I think the reason Ron Paul's no higher in the polls is because few Americans understand what libertarianism is.